I am Dave Heller. I am one of the deacons here and happy to be able to minister God's word to you tonight. And Brother Steve, I'm not Pastor Sean. You know how you know? I can't speak that loud. There's no way I could speak that loud. You flatter. So I'll just try to talk loud, but nevertheless, it's God's word, no matter who's up here. So we're going to look into God's word. So that's the good thing. Now let's start in a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we come to you now knowing that when we dig into your word, that's the best thing we can do on this earth, Lord, to look into the word of God, because you alone have truth. And Lord, help us to see that whenever we spend time in the word, especially as a corporate, you are there, Lord. Your Holy Spirit is working. I pray, Lord, your Holy Spirit would guide us in the truth and that we would only dig up truth. Lord, help us to see what you would have for us, Lord. We know that you are so deep and your understanding is so far beyond any human being can understand. But, Lord, you do make the Word of God simple to us. You don't make it a code. You make it simple to us. And we thank you, Lord, that we can read your Word and understand it and your Holy Spirit helps us. Guide us into spirit and truth tonight, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, with the new year approaching, it's a reminder to us that time rolls on. As the new year approaches, we always think of what can we change this next year or what can we do different this next year. It's a time where we think about how we spend our time. And for the Christian, it matters how we spend our time. What we do with the time that we have. With the advancements in technology and everyday appliances that we have, it offers us more free time. The reality is the modern conveniences have given us more time to do more things in a 24-hour period than our grandparents ever did in several days. Unlike our grandparents, gone are the days of spending half a day hand-washing clothes. Okay, those are gone. Good. Gone are the days of walking miles to and from school or work. Gone are the days of waiting for a long-distance operator to answer the telephone and connect you up. You know, the kids don't even know about that. But even though many things we have given us more time, we don't feel like we have more time. It seems like modern life doesn't have enough time to do the things that we want to do. Or we need to do, we might even think. We do things more quickly, and we do different things at the same time. We have the phrase multitasking, because it implies that we're doing more than one thing at one time. The question isn't, do we have enough time? The question is, do we use our time wisely? Or are we wasting time? So the title of my message is Wasting Time. I got it because we were talking about this in our Bible study. We were talking about how we use our time, and I thought, you know, it really applies to me. I usually preach from what applies to you, and applies to me. How do I use my time? Am I using my time wisely? So I have 3 points I'd like to look at today. Point number one, we're going to look at people perceived to be wasting time. Point number two, we're going to look at people pursuing a waste of time. And point number three, we'll look at people purposing not to waste time. Okay? So I have a simple outline for you there. It's not elaborate, it's just a simple outline. So let's look at people perceived to be wasting time. There is no greater example, I think, in the scriptures of a person who is perceived to be wasting time than Noah. Go to Genesis chapter 6. I want to look at a couple verses in Genesis chapter 6 about Noah. Noah 6, and I'm just going to start in verse 13. I'm not going to go through the whole story of Noah. I don't have the time to go through the whole story of Noah, but we'll start in verse 13. Before we go there, can you imagine what the neighbors thought of a man building a ship in his yard? Yeah, I said a ship. It was the size of a ship. And how they were thinking, what in the world is this guy doing? Genesis 6 and verse 13, this is when God tells Noah what he needs to do. It says this, "And God said to Noah, the end of all flesh has come before me, for the earth is filled with violence through them. And behold, I will destroy them in the earth. Make yourself an ark of gopher wood. Make rooms in the ark and cover it inside and outside with pitch. And this is how you should make it. The length of the ark shall be 300 cubits, its width 50 cubits, and its height 30 cubits." We'll stop there for right now. That works out, if you took cubits and you translated it into feet, it works out to 450 feet long by 75 feet wide by 45 feet high. That's a ship. Okay? I wonder how many times, and we're just guessing, but I wonder how many times the neighbors invited their friends over to their house and said, "You got to see this. You got to see what's happening down the street here. The crazy old guy building a ship in his yard." So they obviously perceived Noah as a man who was wasting his time. You think about it, even today, you couldn't move a ship like that too easy if you had all kinds of machines there was, if you were not near water. And back then, there was no way. So Noah was a man perceived to be wasting time. How much time? The question is often asked, how long did Noah take to build the ark? Well, there's no one verse that gives us how long Noah took to build the ark. But there are a couple of clues, people that think that there's some clues. In Genesis 5, you're in 6, look at 5. And verse 32, just read one verse. 5:32, flip back there. It says, "And Noah was 500 years old, and Noah begot Shem, Ham, and Japheth." Now, that's when he had sons. Not necessarily a clue as to when he was starting to build the ark, but that's when he started to have sons. And his sons would have helped him build the ark. Now, flip over to Genesis 7, okay? Go to Genesis 7. We'll stay nearby. In verse 6, it says, "Noah was 600 years old when the floods were on the earth." Okay, so there's a time period of 100 years from when he had children to when the floods were on the earth. Also says that in verse 11, that he was 600 years old. But I think the clue that a lot of people lean on and try to trust as far as what they think the time period may have been is in Genesis 6 and verse 3. Go back to Genesis 6. In verse 3, it says this, "And the Lord said, my spirit shall not strive with man forever, for he is indeed flesh. Yet his days shall be 120 years. Stop there for a second. Some people believe that God gave man 120 years back then to repent. Okay? I used to take this verse to say, well, he's limiting the amount of days that man will live on the earth. And I believe that's true. Back then, they were living 500, 600 years old, to be 120 years. However, if you put it in its context, he actually is talking about the wickedness of those people. If you look at verse, you're in 6, look at verses 5, it says this, 5. "Then the Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every intent of his thoughts and his hearts was only evil continually. And the Lord was sorry that he had made man on the earth, and he was grieved in his heart. So he said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast, creeping things and birds of the air, for I am sorry that I made them." So if you put it in context, it almost looks like he's saying, I've given them 120 years, they're not repenting. Okay? That's where some clues. We really don't know how long Noah actually took to build the ark, but it was a very long time. If you asked my wife if I had to do it, she would say it took him a very long time. She believes every project I do takes forever. And I don't believe her. I don't believe her about that because, look, we're teaching a Bible study. I'm teaching a Bible study, and this is the workbook that we went through. And we've been on it for almost 2 years, and we've gotten over halfway through. So she says I'm slow. I can't believe it. We're flying. But anyway, it took a very long time for him to build the ark. And yet, it even says in 1 Peter 3, I'll turn there, 1 Peter 3:20, that the divine long-suffer waited in the days of Noah while the ark was being prepared. So even God waited a certain amount of time for Noah and probably his sons to build that ark. Noah not only built the ark, but in 2 Peter 2, verses 5, it says that Noah was a preacher of righteousness. That's the phrase, preacher of righteousness. So he was preaching the coming judgment and building the ark. But people thought he was wasting his time. Look at this man wasting his time. Hebrews 11 says, "By faith, Noah, being divinely warned of things not yet seen, moved with godly fear." Okay? So Noah, to most people, they thought he was wasting his time. But for Noah, it was the best use of his time. It was the very best use of his time. What does the Lord say in Matthew 24:38? It says, "For as in the days of Noah and flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying, giving in marriage, and at the day that Noah entered the ark." See, back then, they weren't paying any attention to him. They just said, that's a crazy man wasting his time. Even though Noah was a man that was perceived, as we know the story, we know he was using his time very wisely. You know what? There are non-Christian friends of yours right now who think you're wasting your time right here. They're thinking to themselves, they're at church. They're always at church. They're always going to events. You're wasting your time. They think you're wasting your time. If you spend 20 years, 30 years, 40 years, 50 years of your life serving the Lord and worshiping God, you are not wasting your time. But there will be people who perceive you as wasting time, just like Noah. And so the Lord says in Luke 17:26, and as it was in the days of Noah, so it will also be in the day of the Son of Man. So we have to remember that. He's trying to say, just like in Noah, right now, there will be people who perceive you to be wasting time. But that day will come. Okay. The second person that I think in the scriptures that was perceived to be wasting time was Joshua and the army of Israel. Now, we were just reading Joshua, but we're going to go to Joshua 6. Go to Joshua chapter 6. Go to Joshua 5.
Chapter 5.
Joshua is coming to the city of Jericho. And as Pastor Tom was saying, he was conquering these cities as God wanted him to do, take possession of that land. So we're actually further back than when we read in the scripture, in our scripture reading, but we're in Joshua 5, where he comes to the city of Jericho with the army. And he employs an unconventional tactic of warfare. You know, those who know the scripture, you know what it is. But the people of Jericho had securely shut up the city, and it was shut up with great walls, and it was ready to go, and it was fortified. But they were really, really fearful of the nation of Israel. Joshua 5, look at verse 1. It just says this: so it was when all the kings of the Amorites who were on the west side of the Jordan, all the kings of the Canaanites who were by the sea, heard that the Lord had dried up the waters of the Jordan from before the children of Israel until we had crossed over, that their heart melted. And there was no spirit in them any longer because of the children of Israel. Now go over to chapter 6 and verse 1. Now Jericho was securely shut up because of the children of Israel. None went out and none came in. So we'll stop there for right this second. God tells them to conquer that city. The people of Jericho know they're coming and they are shut up and they are afraid of the nation of Israel. And this is what God says to Joshua. This is what you're to do, Joshua. Verse 2. And the Lord said to Joshua, see, I have given you Jericho into your hand, its king and its mighty men of valor. You shall march around the city, all your men of war. You shall go around the city once. This you shall do 6 days. And 7 priests shall bear 7 trumpets, a ram horn before the ark. But the 7th day you shall march around the city 7 times, and the priests shall blow the horns. And it shall come to pass that when you make a long blast of the ram's horn, and when you hear the sound of the trumpet, that all the people shall shout with a great shout, then the wall of the city will fall down flat, and the people shall go in every man straight before him. Now, that's what God told them to do. Now, if you can back up and think of the people of Jericho, okay? I wonder what the people of Jericho were thinking. They have this thing shut up. They know the nation, or the Joshua and the army is out there. So I'm sure they're watching. I'm sure they're not just sitting around. I'm sure they're on the wall watching to see what's happening. Here they come. Here they come. There they go. There they go. Because they're marching around the city. So they're probably thinking, all right, they're going around the backside. Let's go around the backside. So they're ready. We're going to protect. We're going to protect it. Here they come. There they go. So they're probably thinking, what are they doing? What are these people doing? They're marching around the city. They're probably thinking to themselves, well, if that's their tactic of warfare, that's a waste of time. Now, that's not going to get you anywhere. Now Jericho was securely shut up. Okay. But the thing is this, in verse 14, you're in Joshua 6, look at verse 14. On the second day, they marched around the city once and returned to the camp. So they did 6 days. Okay, let me stop there. So you can imagine, for 6 straight days, 6 times. Okay, this is it. They're coming this time. We're ready to... There they go. They're walking around the city. Okay, so what are they doing? They keep walking around the city one time, and then they go back to the camp. So even after they're looking, they're leaving. So they're probably thinking, what a waste of time is this? So anyway, and then verse 15, it says this: but it came to pass on the 7th day that they rose early about the dawning of the day and marched around the city 7 times in the same manner. On that day only, they marched around the city 7 times. So you're probably thinking, about the 5th time, they're probably thinking, boy, this is really the biggest waste of time I've ever seen in my life. There's no way they're going to take this city by just marching around the city. Obviously, we know the story. We know on the seventh day that God laid those walls down flat. On the seventh day, they probably thought, the people of Jericho, probably on the seventh day, when they were marching around seven times, probably thought, well, they're really ambitious today. But they're not getting anywhere. They're just wasting their time. So we know that story in verse 20, that everyone did on the seventh day shout. And of course, they rushed the city and they were able to conquer it. But here's the thing. Here's the point we need to take. The city of Jericho could only be taken God's way. Okay? The only way it could be taken is if he did it God's way. Okay? And what looked like a waste of time was not a waste of time. Because it was how God said that they were to do it. We need to remember that in our lives. That when we do things God's way, it's not a waste of time. Okay? I keep thinking of Brother Mike and how he has to continually speak with Rose. He keeps speaking with Rose and keeps speaking with Rose. But as you present the word, brother, and you're faithful in the word, you're doing it God's way, those walls can be laid flat. But it may seem like a waste of time. Your friends may even say, oh, that's a waste of time going over there. But when we do it God's way, and we present the word of God, and we present the truth, and we do it the way God wants us to do, it will happen. The way that God, it will accomplish what God wants it to accomplish. And this also includes worship. We need to do it God's way. There's a lot of inventive ways and new ways we can worship. But we need to present the truth of the Word of God. Through the foolishness of preaching, the Scripture says. No, we got new ways. No, the foolishness of preaching, do it God's way. And those walls can lay down flat. So we must do that. Let me give you another person that I think was considered to be a person wasting time. And that is Mary, the sister of Martha. Go to Luke chapter 10. Luke chapter 10. As we look at the situation here, just a couple of verses. Luke 10, and we'll start in verse 38. Okay, it says this in verse 38. Now it happened as they went that he entered a certain village, this is Jesus, and a certain woman named Martha welcomed him into his house. And she had a sister called Mary, who also sat at his feet, Jesus' feet, and heard his words. But Martha was distracted with much serving, and she approached him and said, Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Therefore, tell her to help me. Now, obviously, Martha perceived Mary to be wasting time. She knew being with the Lord was important, but we have a guest. We need to help. Okay? So, Mary, you need to help. You can't just be sitting around. You're wasting time that we need to prepare here. So in Luke 10 and verse 41, this Jesus answers and says this, and Jesus answered and said to her, Martha, Martha, you are worried and troubled about many things, but one thing is needed, and Mary has chosen that good part, which will not be taken away from her. Now, verse 39 is the key phrase here. There's a little phrase that says, Mary has chosen the good part. Okay? It's not wrong that you would want to prepare for your guest, that you would want to be ready for your guests and serve them whatever they would need. But she's chosen the good part, is what he's saying. And the good part is actually what you see in verse 41. Look at verse 41. It says, little phrase, it says, Mary, who also sat at the feet and heard his word. That was the good part. She was listening to the word of God. She chose the good part. Not that you were terribly wrong in serving, but she chose the good part, which is hearing the word. We must remind ourselves not to be distracted in our mission, okay? As the people of God, not to waste time, we also need to remember that we need to hear the word of the Lord. We can get distracted in many things in ministry. We can get distracted in many things in a church. But we need to not forget that she chose the good part, and that's sitting at Jesus' feet, and in this case, listening to the word of God, okay? Hearing the word of God. She chose the good part. That's what he was saying. We might not do it all right, but let's purpose this coming year to use our time wisely. As the Lord says, she chose a good part, let's choose the good part. That's one more example of a person perceived to be wasting time, and that's the Lord Jesus. If you would go to Matthew chapter 9, Matthew chapter 9. And I'm going to start in verse 9. Matthew 9, we'll start in verse 9. It says this, and Jesus passed on from there, and he saw a man named Matthew sitting at the tax office. And he said to him, follow me. So he arose and followed him. Now it happened as Jesus sat at the table of the house that, behold, many tax collectors and sinners came and sat down with him and his disciples. And when the Pharisees saw it, they said to his disciples, why does your teacher sit with tax collectors and sinners? We'll stop there for a second. See, the Pharisees thought, why is Jesus wasting his time with tax collectors and sinners? Why is he wasting his time with hardened sinners? That's what the Pharisees were thinking. He was wasting time. Now, the Lord wasn't wasting time, but that's what they perceived him as, to be wasting time with hardened sinners. We need to make sure we never develop that attitude. That we're wasting time with hardened sinners. They're never going to repent. We need to be like our Lord. Our Lord was persistent. Our Lord presented the word. Amen. And it's easy for us to say, like the Pharisees, you know, we don't think of ourselves that way, but we can say it. You know, you're wasting your time with that person. But that's what they were saying. You're wasting your time. Here's the thing. This is what he says. Isaiah 55:11. Never forget this. So shall my word be that goes forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void. You know this text. But it shall accomplish what I please. And this is what the Lord is saying. And it shall prosper in the thing from which I sent it. So we need to remember that as we present the word. There may be a little thought even in your head that this is a waste of time. That could be a thought that comes in your head. Oh, I'm wasting my time. But maybe even someone comes right out and says it to you. But we must resist those thoughts. We need to resist the thoughts that we're wasting our time as we present the word and as we're involved in ministry. We are not. So we talked about people perceived to be wasting time. Well, let's move to my next point, which is the people pursuing a waste of time. Okay? Go to Ecclesiastes chapter 1. You can find Proverbs right after that. Ecclesiastes chapter 1. And we're going to talk about, obviously, the example there is Solomon. Okay, there's a lot that can be read there. I'm just going to read a couple, just a verse or two. I'm not going to read much there. But Solomon is a man who knew about what it was like to pursue a waste of time. Okay, Ecclesiastes chapter 1 and verse 1 says this, the words of the preacher, the son of David, king of Jerusalem, vanity of vanities, says the preacher, vanity of vanities, all is vanity. What profit has a man from all his labor in which he toils under the sun? We'll stop there for a second. So he's just saying it's vanity. It's a waste of time. Profiting, laboring. And he did have a lot of wealth, great wealth. But it's all vanity. Okay, it didn't mean anything. Go down to verse 14. This is what he says. This is how he sums it up. I have seen all the works that are done under the sun, and indeed all is vanity and grasping for the wind. So he's saying it's just grasping for the wind. You and I both have seen many people pursuing money, pursuing prestige. They want prestige, pursuing power. You know, many people pursue many things and they pursue it with a lot of their time. They spend a lot of their time pursuing these things. In the end, they're pursuing a waste of time. Okay? Ecclesiastes 2, go to chapter 2 and look at verse 18. And this is, again, Solomon. Then I hated all my labor in which I had toiled under the sun because I must leave it to a man who will come after me. And who knows whether he will be wise or a fool. Yet he will rule over my labor in which I toiled, in which I have shown myself wise as a son. This also is vanity. So there's that thought that he have is, I'm going to leave it to somebody else and who knows what will happen. So it really is a waste of time. Here's where the message gets tricky. Because money and possessions is not the problem. Okay? So we have to be careful here and not saying that pursuing a livelihood, pursuing an income, we live in a society where we have money. We're in a monetary society where we need money to live. We need money for cars. We need money for education. We need money for food. We live in a society where our society is based upon money. So is it wrong for someone to work and make a living? Is it wrong to spend time doing those things? See, our problem isn't money. Our problem isn't possessions. Our problem is our attitude toward those possessions and the time that we spend trying to acquire those things. So you might say to me, well, Didn't Jesus say to the rich young ruler to sell everything? It was in Luke 18:22. Didn't he say, sell everything? So isn't Jesus saying, well, riches is a problem? Well, to him, riches was a problem. But the riches in themselves are not the problem. His attitude toward those riches was the problem. God doesn't condemn David when he was king and he had a lot of wealth. He didn't condemn Job when he had a lot of wealth. The Bible says that in 1b, Job 1:1b says that he was blameless and upright. This is Job now. And one who feared God and shunned evil. And this was before anything had happened to him. When he had a lot of possessions, God said he feared God. So his money and possessions were not the problem. Even the rich young ruler really wasn't guilty of being rich, even though he said to sell everything. His problem was his connection. He trusted in that. And that God was trying to separate him from the things that he trusted, realizing that that was not where his hope should be. But the money in themselves were not wrong. The Lord said in Luke 18:22, you still lack one thing. This is to the rich young ruler now. You still lack one thing. And one thing is that mindset of understanding who God is and where treasure comes from. The mind, the correct mindset, he lacked that. So what it means to have treasure in heaven, to pursue treasures only on earth, is the pursuit of the waste of time. It is. Again, the pursuit of money to have for your living is not a waste of time. And let's say you make a good living and you're able to support those in the ministry. You're able to support many people, do many things with. That's not wrong. That's good. But the Lord is asking us not to waste time in the pursuit of those things for those things. That's the whole reason. Are we spending time pursuing only what means something on earth and not pursuing the things that are treasures in heaven? Let me tell you one other people who were pursuing in the scriptures a waste of time. Okay, and that's the Pharisees. Matthew chapter 9. Go to Matthew chapter 9. These men, I'll talk to you while you're turning. These men spent their time doing spiritual things. And they thought the followers of Jesus should spend their time doing these things also. And that's the best use of time, right? We don't want to waste time. Well, doing the things that we do as Pharisees, that's not a waste of time. Matthew 9, chapter 14. This is John's disciples. These are not the disciples, but these are disciples who are following John. And said this, Matthew 9, 14. Then the disciples of John came to him saying, why do we and the Pharisees fast often, but your disciples do not fast? Stop there for right now. See, fasting is not a waste of time. Okay? If we fast in order to grow closer to the Lord, in order to set aside something that we would be doing in order to have communion with our Lord, that's not a waste of time. But fasting in order to grow closer to the Lord when the Lord is standing there in the body of Jesus Christ, that's a problem. Okay? And so that was their problem. 9:15, it says this, and Jesus said to them, can the friends of the bridegroom mourn as long as the bridegroom is with them? But the days will come when the bridegroom will be taken away from them, and then they will fast. So he's saying, why are you fasting and spending your time fasting to grow closer to me when I'm right here? Okay? And they do that all the time. But the thing about it is that they thought it was a waste, that the disciples were not doing things right, that they were not doing what they should be doing. But it was the best use of their time to be with the Lord. Okay, and not be fasting, to be with the Lord was the best use of their time. We need to be careful, like the Pharisees, to not be involved in religious activities that keep us from Jesus, keep us from the Lord. And that's the problem, is we can be involved in activities and yet not see Jesus the way they saw him, not want to be near him. Well, we would say we are. I mean, we're involved in a lot of things, but we're not using our time wisely. We're, in a sense, wasting our time, even though we're involved in religious activities. It's great to sing and dance. I think the Lord wants us to sing before him. But if it produces nothing, or we study, let's say you're a person who's prone to, you want an intense study of the scriptures, that's a good thing. But it has no effect on you. It doesn't change the way you live. It doesn't change you. You just study to study. You could be wasting your time. And you might say, wait a second, that's religious act, waste of my time. But you could be, if it's not changing you. Lord God will change you as you read his word. And you can be involved in these things. So we could be like Martha and not be choosing the good part. Okay? talk about choosing the good part, or in another way, putting purpose and purposing in our heart not to waste time. That's my last point. Let's go to my last point. Purposing not the people, purposing not to waste time. Statistics tell us that as we begin the year, many people will purpose to change things in their lives. Okay? They're going to make New Year's resolutions. A lot of people make New Year's resolutions. I looked it up online to see what it said, and I think it says 48%, 48% of people make New Year's resolutions, you know, to be healthier and you know, pursue relationships, all kinds of things, New Year's resolutions they make. And 24% of them, you know, it goes by the wayside really quickly. And even 1 week, 2 weeks, 3 weeks, it starts going right down really real quick. So there's a lot of people who will purpose to spend time in light of eternity to waste time. Really, they're gonna say, I'm going to make myself go to the gym however long I'm going to be doing this and doing that and doing this, and they will actually be purposing to waste time. But praise God that there will be people who will make an even stronger commitment to the Lord this year. And they will be people who purpose not to waste time. We need to be those people. We need the people who say, we're not going to waste time this year. Now, I can't say how it is for you, because every one of us had different circumstances and how we do this and what we do. But we need to be the people who say, I have a certain amount of time, and time is short, and time cannot be regained. And so we need the purpose that we're not going to waste time. I'm not going to give you five steps as to how you do that, but I'm going to say you need to ask the Lord and pray to the Lord, am I wasting time? Am I spending a lot of time watching television, a lot of time doing whatever you do? You know, could I be using some of this time for you, Lord? Should I be using some of this time? But let him convict you. So you need to do that. The modern day Christian are the people who ought to be purposing not to waste time. Matthew 12 and 35 says this: a good man out of the good treasure of his heart bring forth good things, and an evil man out of the treasure of his heart bring forth evil things. But I say to you that every idle word men may speak, they will give an account of in the day of judgment. For by your words you will be justified, and by your words you will be condemned. Boy, every idle word. Wow, that's hitting hard. Yeah, say to the Lord, every idle word we will be given an answer to. That's real convicting. It really is. The best thing we can do is say, let's just emulate the Lord. What did the Lord do? The Lord only had 3 years of ministry. So what did he do? Now, how did he order his steps? In his 3 years of ministry, he used his time wisely. And you know what? Some of that time that he used wisely was separating himself from people. Sometimes he got away from people. And you'd say, no, Lord, you only have 3 years. There's a lot of people. Sometimes separating himself and praying to his Father was more important and was accomplishing the mission God wanted him to. John 17:4 says this. This is what the Lord says to God the Father: I have glorified you on earth. I have finished the work you have given me to do. Now, if you were living at that time, you might say, no, Lord, we need to see these people. We need to see that we got a lot to do. And he's saying, I finished it. And the Lord ordered his steps, and many times it was getting away. Not all the time, but many times it was getting away. We find excuses to waste time. And sometimes we think they're so convincing to us. You know, I had that struggle when I was preparing this message, because I had, you know, because of the holidays and there was things going on, it was like, okay, I need to prepare this message. And then the world goes, no, you don't have time. You don't have time. No time. And then I'm doing something else, and I'm going, I'm wasting time. And I'm like, I'm preaching, I'm wasting time, and I'm wasting time. So the Lord's saying, yeah, that's right. That's what I wanted you to see. And so the thing is it convicts me, you know. But the thing is, we say we can't do this or we can't do that. You know, we can't go here. We can't be involved in that ministry because. And we have reasons why. Sometimes they're legitimate. But other times we're like the lazy man. Proverbs 26:13-14 says, the lazy man says, there's a lion on the road, a fierce lion in the streets. And it says, the word of God makes a commentary. It says, as the door turns on the hinge, so does the lazy man on his bed. Really slow and creaky and not willing to go because we have excuses. We really waste time. In order to be people who purpose not to waste time, it will take effort and energy. Okay, so we need to do that. We need to say, Lord, it's going to be a commitment. It's not just like that. We're going to be committed to not wasting time. Now, I want to be careful not to lay false guilt on people, okay? Because we can be busy with daily activities with our families and businesses and not be wasting time. If you're ministering to your family and you're trying to train your family and teach your family in life how to be a Christian, you're not wasting your time. If you're in business, many people in the scriptures have jobs. Pastors are worthy of their labor. And so the point is that if you're in business or you wherever you work, and you're supporting your family, and you're trying to train your children, and you're trying to use the money in God's way, you're not wasting your time. So I won't lay false guilt on you thinking if you're not wasting every second studying. There's many ways in which we minister, many ways in which we are being effective, using an effective time. Okay, so mother with small children, you have a lot of time is taken up with your children, but you're raising your children, and you're seeking to raise your children to teach them what it means to be a Christian. And to teach them, and they're young, and you know what? That's going to take your time, and so. But you are not wasting time. See, you have to. You can false guilt yourself into things. Okay. Single people, though, the world of God commends single people for having more time, saying you have even more time. Okay. You'll still be busy. You have things you have to do, but you do have more time available, and so you have more time for ministering. Praise the Lord. It's an advantage for you. So, again, it's not wrong to be married. It's not wrong to be involved in with your family. But at the same time, single people even have more time. And praise God for that, for them. Now, you may be perceived to be wasting time by your friends. But if your time is used in the service of the Lord, it's not wasted. Okay, I'm just going over some of my points. We need to be willing to let go of the time that we would use for unprofitable things. We need to be willing to let that go and turn that time into spent for profitable things. We need to say, I'm going to take this time away and I'm going to use it in whatever way you feel the Lord is you, moving you. Let's be people who purpose to not waste time. Let's be people this year who purpose that we are going to use whatever time we have. Think of it. Here's the thing. I got to tell you an example real quick. I know I'm running out of time. In our house, we have a clock that sits on the mantle, right? And this thing ticks. Okay, it's fun. It's just a little clock. You know, it actually looks like a Big Ben clock, and it's iron and everything. But it ticks and it makes noise. So when my daughter Amelia is studying, she always takes it off the mantle because she comes out in the living room and it makes noise, and it's sitting there going tick, 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 and she's quiet. So I always come back in the house and I go, where's the clock? And then I realize that she didn't want the noise. It wasn't the time that was the issue, but it was the noise, you know. But this clock, when I sit there, I can sit there and listen to it, and it's like it just reminds you that time is ticking by. It reminds me that time is ticking by. This thing makes noise. But it convicts me now. Now after this message, I'm like, okay, there's time. Lost, yeah. So this thing's like pounding, you know. But the thing is this. Time does keep ticking away. And so we have to say to ourselves, how are we going to use our time wisely? Let me talk to you, those who are unsaved. Those of you who you know you haven't made a commitment to the Lord. You might not even regret how you use your time now. You might think, I'm okay. I'm not really using my time in a bad way. But you will, after you pass from this earth, you will regret that time. At that instant, you'll probably realize how much time you wasted, and the time you wasted that you could have been repenting and serving the Lord. And you will realize then, in Luke 16:22-25, we don't have time, but we see the rich man and Lazarus. And you remember how he was getting to see Lazarus and saying, tell my brothers, because I don't want them to come to this place. See, he couldn't regain that time back. That time was gone. And that's the example the scriptures is trying to tell us. Tell us, you see this example? This is what happens. You can't get that time back. So we need to be people who use our time wisely. This is the key verse. It's right on the bottom of your outlines. Okay. It says this, Ephesians 5:15. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. So we need to redeem the time, redeem that time, buy back that time for where we're losing. So let's purpose to do that this year. I'm going to close in a word of prayer, but before I do, let's just remember that we're going to have a a quick business quarter meeting, third quarter meeting. So everyone who wants to, you can stay. Anybody can stay. We're going to have our meeting. It'll be real quick. Brother Bob will come up. So let me close in a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, help us this year to purpose to not waste time. Lord, you know how many things crowd our day. Lord, you know how many things in this world seem to just put pressure on us that we have to be involved in and go here and do that. And I pray, Lord, that you would help us to see that we can use time wisely. And help us to do that, Lord. Each one of us will have to be convicted in a different way, but I pray, Lord, you would do that. You would convict us, that we would sense that even though people perceive us to be wasting time like Noah, that even being right here, right now, worshiping you is the best use of our time. Lord, thank you so much for that. Thank you for opening our eyes to the fact that anything else but worshiping you is a waste of time. And Lord, help us to do that. We're going to have forever and ever and ever all of time to worship you, Lord, in person. And we thank you so much for that, Lord. We thank you for the hope you've laid before us, that forever and ever there will be time for us to worship you. But Lord, on earth right now, our time is short. And Lord, may we use it wisely. In Jesus' name, amen.